Hello, this is Joshua Mack from Cornerstone Bible Church, and I want to talk with you a little today about marriage and family, and specifically about developing good relationships with your children, or at least some steps to take to develop good relationships with your children. These won't be all, I'm sure, and there'll just be some suggestions. But I am convinced that this is a pretty important subject to talk about. You want to have good relationships with your children for a lot of reasons. That's not just kind of a nice idea. But if we look at the Bible, we see the importance of relationships in a number of different ways. First of all, this is really part of why God created us as humans. He sought to have a relationship with us. It's stunning to say, but if you look at the story of the Bible, you see that it's really God making a way for humans to enjoy a relationship with Him. So relationships are important to God. Even in the Garden of Eden, of course, He designed us as humans to have relationship with one another. After the fall, we see that one of the biggest consequences of the curse was problems in relationships between people, family, then nations. And that's actually a big part of what God wants to accomplish through the gospel, is a reversal of the consequences of the fall, bringing people back together, people who were divided back together into relationship. It's also how God has acted to change us. If we think of the sacrifice God made that we might have a relationship with Him, God became man. He literally entered our world so that we could know Him and have a relationship with Him. And Jesus died, rose again, ascended into heaven so that He could send the Spirit to dwell in our hearts, to cement the relationship. And then when it comes to how we change, we see as we look at the New Testament that one of God's primary means for helping us actually become different people is through relationships with one another in the church. Ephesians 4 is one of my favorite passages. God talks about how we need to walk in a manner worthy and of the gospel, and what He means there is united relationships. And He says we need these united relationships because we are united. We are one as believers. Then He talks about how that's going to happen, and He talks about the Spirit giving these gifts of pastors and teachers and people like that to the church to equip the members of the church for the work of ministry so that they can do what? In the end, it's speak the truth to one another in love, develop relationships. And what is the way God uses these relationships? What do they accomplish? We attain to the fullness of maturity in Christ. He says it a lot better than that. You can check it out yourself. But relationships are important to God. It's one of the primary means He uses to make us different people. And so relationships are important to us as Christians, but also as parents. If we want to help our children, we need to imitate God and pursue loving relationships with them. But how? How do we do that? That's an important question. Some of us aren't good at relationships in general. Some of us didn't really have good models of parents who pursued healthy relationships with us. Our parents maybe were far removed or sometimes just abusive. Some of us are especially not good at relationships with children. We're not used to being around children. Plus, we're dealing with sinners. We are sinners, and our children are sinners. And so wherever you've got sinners, you've got insanity going on, really. Sin is a kind of insanity, and it's amazing all the complications our sin can bring into relationships. So where do we start? What can we do as parents to seek to develop good relationships with our children? I wrote down some ideas real quickly, but one is to pray. Pray specifically that the Lord would give you a deep affection for your children. Now, both of those should be obvious, but I want to take a minute and stress the importance of prayer. Prayer is not like one more thing for us to do as Christians. Prayer is what we need to do as Christians, and it needs to be what we're doing as we do everything else that God's called us to do as Christians. We, no matter how nice we think we are, no matter how good at relationships we think we are the kind of people who can do a lot of damage to others and who, on our own, cannot produce any lasting spiritual fruit. And yet we know that we're not our own. On our own, we have a Savior who wants to help us, and He's told us to ask Him. And so we need to be praying if we want to have good relationships with our children, and asking that God would do the impossible in us and help us specifically to love our children with a deep affection. And I stress affection because one of the reasons we sometimes have difficulty in relationships is because we really don't care deeply for the other person. Or maybe another way to say it is we become a little bitter. And it is tough to say that about parents with their children. And I know our first instinct, of course, is to say, that could never happen to me. But unfortunately, sometimes it can. Sometimes it does. And sometimes you need to be reminded that it can happen to you. We are sinful people. And we like to make excuses and rationalizations for our sin. And so we definitely wouldn't say that we are not loving our children and wouldn't say that we don't have an affection for them. But sometimes what can happen over time is we get annoyed by the kinds of things that they do. And slowly but surely, that annoyance becomes the main thing driving us in our relationship with them. And we would definitely say that we love them, but the way we're relating to them or feeling about them honestly doesn't always look like love. I know there have been people in my life that God called me to have a relationship with and to care for, who were just a little bit different. And they weren't always even necessarily sinning. They just were, they would do things differently, laugh at things differently, have a different mentality towards things than I would have. And it was easy for me to begin thinking of them as just a little bit strange. And as I saw them doing things that I thought was strange, my affection for them was not increasing, it was decreasing. And so if I was going to have a relationship with them, what I had to do was tell myself, Josh, this is wrong. This person is not sinning. It's an expression of their personality or temperament. Who do you think you are that everybody has to do and think exactly the way that you want them to think and do what you want them to do? That's not loving. That's almost like a kind of hate, honestly. At least it's incredibly selfish and it needs to be repented of, put off, and what I need to put on is affection for that particular person. And of course, I can't do that on my own, and so I need to pray for it. And if you want to have good relationships with your children, step number one, pray for affection. Step number two follows right out of that, and it's pretty similar to what I just said, but stop wanting to be the king of the world. And so if you think about who are the most difficult people to have relationships with, I think most of us would say proud, selfish people. And as we go out there in the world, we sometimes have learned how to hide our pride and our selfishness in our relationship with others. We might be proud and we might be selfish, but we know that doesn't really work in the workplace or in relationships with people out there. And so we kind of can put on a little politeness or a smile and hide our pride and selfishness. But then we come home and some of those masks come off and we say what we don't say out there and act in ways that we don't act out there. And it's no surprise then that our children would have a difficult time having a relationship with us because we know how hard it is to have a relationship with people like that. I remember I was at a Starbucks a while back and I was walking into Starbucks and there was a guy behind me and he was walking very closely to me, very closely. I kind of do have a big personal space. I don't know how that happened, but I do have a big personal space. And this guy was, at least in my own mind, and this guy was walking pretty close behind me and even all the way up to the line. And the whole time he was doing that, I was in my head, honestly, I was judging him and critiquing him pretty ruthlessly, I think. And as I was leaving Starbucks, looking at this nice guy who was walking to his car, now I thought to myself, like, Josh, who in the world do you think you are? My goodness, this guy is just coming into Starbucks to get a coffee, and you have sliced and diced him in your mind for what? For just standing a little close to you. And so who did I think I was? I thought I was king of the world, and I deserved to have everybody do exactly what I think they should do, when I think they should do it, how I think they should do it. It's kind of like when I drive, sometimes I get surprised that the light turns red. And my wife always laughs and says, Josh, who do you think you are? She doesn't say that actually, but we've talked about it and she's able to say it much more nicely than I just said it. But in my mind, I hear the point, which is that I think when I leave the house that every light should turn green for me. In other words, I kind of am acting like I think I'm God. And we are not God. And our children are not, they didn't come into the world simply to be our servants. And so if we're going to have a relationship with them, a good relationship with them, we can't act like we're someone we're not and treat them as if their whole goal in life was to not make our life difficult or uncomfortable in any way whatsoever. And so we need to pray. One, Lord, give us affection for our children. Two, God, help me not get upset about things that my children might say or do that make my life just a little more uncomfortable because I think that's what I deserve. A third, this is actually taking a lot longer than I imagined it would, but I have 10. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll just get through 5 today and 5 next time. But third, if you want to have a good relationship with your children, grab hold of your everyday speech. James, when he talks about the power of speech in James chapter 3, what does he compare it to? He compares your speech to a flame or to fire. And he says that it's like fire in that it's just a spark. It takes a spark to do a lot of damage. And your words have the power to do a lot of damage. And of course, he's saying a spark is something small and it has the power to do extreme damage. And your everyday speech, the way you talk in your house when no one's around, looks small because you do it so often, because there's so many of those words. It just seems ordinary, and yet it has an extraordinary power. Solomon in Proverbs says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so often what happens is that the way we speak, those ordinary words are really out of step with the gospel we say we believe. And so we talk about this gospel of grace, and yet our words are self-righteous. We talk about this God who is so patient with us, and our words are mean, our words are harsh, our words are critical, our words are rarely encouraging, our words are rarely for the purpose of building up. And so it's not surprising that we have a difficult time having healthy relationships with our children. If most of our words with our kids are harsh, if most of our words with our kids are poking at them, if most of our words with our kids are just bossing them around, then it's not really shocking that they're going to have a hard time having a good relationship with us. And so if we're going to have a good relationship with our kids, we of course need to also pray, Lord, please help me in the small moments of life to not say words that tear down, but also to say words that build up. And not only to pray about that, but to work at it, to identify, what is my speech doing? Your speech is doing something. You want to create an atmosphere of grace in your home. You want to create, by God's grace, a kind of soil in which strong trees can grow, if you know what I'm saying. And healthy soil, the healthy soil in a home, or the good environment in a home for things to grow, are biblical words that are true, words that are loving. Fourth, if you're going to have a healthy relationship with your children, don't teach them that they're the center of the world either. So you don't want to act as if you're the center of the world, but at the same time, you want to help them know that they're not the center of the world. Sometimes when we talk about having a good relationship with your children, I think sometimes because people have only seen this authoritarian, I have to be respected at all times example, they don't want to do that. So they go to this other extreme and they say, well, if I'm not the king, then I'm going to act like my child is the king. And that makes relationships hard as well. If your child thinks that they're the king of the world, they're going to be very difficult people to get along with long term. Anytime you end up not doing what they want, they are going to act like kings act, which is like off with your head, you know? And so this is maybe kind of the challenge sometimes when it comes to parenting. You don't want to sort of grab hold of authority because you want your children to worship you as some kind of idol. But that doesn't mean that you stop exercising authority. It means that you are seeking to exercise authority for their good. And one of the reasons we don't want to allow our children to think they're the center of the world is because they're not. And so it may appear loving, I suppose, to people who have a funny idea about love, to just kind of give in to every single one of your children's demands and to make your life revolve around them in every way, to just sort of try to make their life as absolutely comfortable as you possibly can and almost be obsessive about that. And yet it's not really loving, because that's going to make it very difficult for them to have good relationships with anyone in the future. It's certainly going to make it difficult for them to have a good relationship with God. And it's also going to make it difficult for them to function in society, because once they leave your home, they're going to find out that not everybody thinks they're the center of the world the way their mom or dad does. And it's going to be like they were living in a fairy tale land for 18 years, and then they come out and it's all of a sudden, wow, the world is really different than the way my parents acted like it was. And so if you want to have a good relationship with your children, you want to humble yourself, come down to their level, come alongside of them, and yet at the same time help them understand that the Bible does say, children, honor and obey your parents. And it doesn't do that because God's like, I just want to mess up children's lives and I want things to be as hard as I can for them and how can I make their life so difficult? But instead, because God really wants your children's good, and it's good for children to learn to respect their parents. That's four steps to developing a good relationship with your children. Maybe I'll close this time with a fifth, and it's be interested in your children. This is a specific way to show love. When you love someone, you are interested in them and you're interested in what they're interested in. As you go out there in the world, so few people obviously are really interested in you, or at least me. all of us, I'm sure we all feel like this. We say hello, people ask us how we're doing, and it doesn't take long until most people are over the conversation and ready to move on. But when you do meet someone who's interested in you, and this is one of the beautiful things about relationships in the church, you meet people who actually care, and it's like, wow, this is, it draws you in. Their love for you and their genuine affection and care and interest in you draws you toward them. And the same is true with your children. You want to show interest in what they're interested in, and not always because it's interesting to you, but more because you love them and you want to know them and what matters to them. And this is something that sometimes is maybe a little more difficult when they're young, but I think is really important because you're teaching them how to have relationships. And so if you're the only kind of, if you're the kind of person who's only interested when other people are saying or doing things that are interesting to you, you're teaching them something. And guess what? The pattern that you're giving them is going to make it difficult for you to have a relationship with them long term, because they're going to learn that they only need to be interested in what you're saying and doing when it's interesting to them. And as they grow older, a lot of what you're saying and doing won't be that interesting to them. And so you want to learn to show interest in your children because you love them. Not being fake, but pretending to really care deeply about Barbies or something when you don't care about Barbies, but getting down and enjoying that because they enjoy that. And that takes self-control, I'm sure. That takes takes effort. It takes time. It takes, maybe what I'm talking about too is that it, when trying to stress, is that it takes a little bit of focus. Like when you're with your children, obviously you're busy, you've got a lot of things to do. You don't want them to think they're always having to be the center of the world or always the most interesting people on the planet. But there does need to be times where you just focus on them and put down your phone and watch out for distractions, and you take time just to be with them. That may not be something they notice right away as being very important, but if you do that consistently and for a long time, if you show interest in your children, I really think you're going to see the results long term, and God's going to help you have a deeper relationship with them. I've got about 5 more ideas, but I've been talking for a long time already, and so I just want to encourage you. I have a lot of children, as you know, and some of them are growing older now, and I am so thankful for the grace God's shown us in allowing us to have a relationship with them. I know it's a fragile world, and relationships are fragile, and sin is terrible, and so it's never really too surprising the damage that sin can do. But God's grace is real, and he is kind, and I can just testify that while my oldest children are still in their 20s, I am very thankful for the relationship that he's allowed us to have with them. And I know ultimately it's his grace 200%, 300%, 400%, because I'm not the kind of person who is naturally just good at relationships. I'm a sinner like everyone else, and I can break any relationship you give me, and I know ways in which I have failed in many relationships with many different people, but I, again, I'm just so grateful to God for the relationships I have with my children, and these are a couple of the steps that I've tried to take over the years, and I think maybe some of the ways God has helped us to this point have really healthy relationships.